speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
This morning, I want to ask you a question. Have you given much consideration as to the influence that you and that I have on others? As we think with reference to this, I want us to understand that we have a very powerful impact and influence upon others. We are able to change people's minds by what we say and what we do. We are able to shape people's opinions about things in life, even about our God. And we are able to move people to act in different ways based out of who we are, based out of what we think, based out of what we say, based out of what we do. And have you stopped to consider that of recent? I trust that maybe some people have never stopped to think about the power that they had in their influence. Admittedly, years ago, whenever I was just a young teenager, I would say or do anything that I thought would get a laugh or that I thought needed to be done or wanted to do at the moment, and really never thought about the consequences, never thought about the impact or the influence that I was having on others. And it wasn't until later in life that I started to think about who I was and who I needed to be, not only for myself, but also for those who were around and about me. So have you thought about the power of influence? Maybe you haven't, but also possibly you have, but yet at the same time, maybe it's been some time before you've given consideration to that. And this morning, I want to provoke our thoughts to think about the fact that every single day of our lives touch others in some big and powerful way, sometimes in small ways that really doesn't have much of an effect. But in reality, most of the time, people are watching us. People are thinking about what it is that we look like, what it is that we're saying, what it is that we are doing. As Christians, this is a big deal. As Christians, we are to be positive people. We are to be people that people want to be around. We are to be people that are always looking to our brothers or sisters in Christ to encourage them, to bring forth love and to motivate them to serve God faithfully. We want our positive example to be productive as we are reaching out to serve God. We help to wind people up, do we not? That's our first slide here. And we can wind people up and set them in the right direction, or we can wind them up and send them down the right, the wrong direction. Or we might be a part of that where people are trying to wind someone down. And we don't want to be a negative influence to people. We want to be a positive influence to people each and every day, especially those who are members of the body of Christ. When we think about the power of influence, to begin with, I want us to understand that people who run with positive people tend to be positive themselves. If you hang out with someone who is negative all the time, the glass is not half full, but the glass is half empty, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to start to think yourself the glass is half empty, and you're not going to see the benefits of the fact that there are some good things going on round and about you. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs chapter 24 or chapter 27 and verse 17 that iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. I believe that it is important for us, number one, to hang around with, to hang out with, if you would, with brothers and sisters in Christ above all. But yet at the same time, we are to have an influence upon the world and relationships in part with people of the world. So we are to have friends out here in the world. But above all, we ought to surround ourselves with members of the body of Christ. Why? Because we are going to have the greatest impact upon one another, the people that we're around. So therefore, we want to rub shoulders with those of like precious faith. But at the same time, then, as we think about having friends outside of the body of Christ, we ought to surround ourselves with positive people, people who believe in God, even though they may not be religiously correct, they believe in God, and that they are very positive in regard to the way in which they engage in life. Why? Because also it is said that those with negative friends usually become like them. The Bible identifies to us is that we need to understand that those who are negative, those who deal with anger in their life. Sometimes I have counseled people with anger issues, and those issues stem all the way back, usually to the time in which they were a child and they dealt with a negative parent, or they dealt with a negative thing that happened to them in their life, an event that helped to mold or to change them. And in all, they need counseling through that. But there are some people who are just filled with anger, and there's no way in the world that they're ever going to come away from that. And therefore, the more that we would associate ourselves with those type of people, the chances of us becoming like them are greater. There's a story told, to illustrate this, a story told of two guys who have been friends for a long time. They like to duck hunt with each other, and the one guy has a dog that he's had for many years. He's trained this dog well and always took him around whenever they were going duck hunting, and he liked to brag about how good his dog was. Well, this friend of his dog had died, and he was on the market for a new dog, and he found a new dog that had also gone through extensive training, but he was a younger dog. Well, they got together and went duck hunting. And sure enough, both of them were able to shoot ducks. And the one with the experienced dog that they had had for many, many years jumped out into the water, swam out to the dog, to the duck, picked up the duck, brought the duck back, laid the duck right there beside the owner's feet. And the gentleman who liked to brag about his dog, he says, "You see that? That's the way that a duck dog is supposed to do." Said, "Trained well." He says, "Can your dog do that?" And the guy says, "Fetch," to his new dog. And the dog jumps out there on the water and walks on water and gets out there to the duck and picks up the duck, turns around and walks on water to come back, gets down and lays the duck beside the owner's feet. And the guy, the negative person, looked to him and he says, "Ah, I see your dog can't swim." The man turned and popped him in the jaw. Negativism feeds negativism. And we need to be people who are around people who are positive, who do not have anger in their lives. Evil fellowship often results in corrupt and immorality. And the Bible is very clear with this, is that as people who are in the light, we have a relationship with God. While it is important, and I mentioned this just a moment ago, for us to have an association with the world and to have a friendship in part with the world for the sake of bringing these souls to Christ, we need to realize is that people who are living in sin outside of God, is that while we're wanting to have an influence upon them, more times than not, they will have an equal and maybe even greater impact upon us. So therefore, we've got to be very careful whenever it comes to our fellowship with people who are outside of Christ. And in that, to realize the consequences that may come as a result of that. But then also, the Bible gives us an example of allowing sin to reign in our lives and the impact that that can even have upon the body of Christ. Take into consideration what Paul was dealing with as he spoke to the saints at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through verse 11. An individual, a member of the church, his father evidently has been remarried. And in this context, the son is having a sexual relationship with his stepmother. That's the context. And Paul rebukes the church because they were letting this go on. And Paul goes on to say, he says that even the Gentiles, those who are outside of Christ, they know better than this. They wouldn't engage in that. They wouldn't embrace that type of behavior. But the church was allowing that to go on. And Paul admonishes them. He rebukes them very much so for doing that. And he says, "Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole loaf?" What's he saying? He says that if you allow that to go on, that example, that influence, it's going to infiltrate the church. It's going to have a devastation upon the entire body. It's like a loaf of bread, if you would. whenever you have a loaf of bread and it sits out for a long time and you look at it and you maybe have one piece in there or one piece of bread or one part of the loaf, it's got mold on it. If you let it set for the rest of the week, guess what? It's going to affect the entire body. The entire loaf is going to end up with mold. And that's the influence that God is trying to warn us against. We must check and keep in check sin in the church so that the church does not become defiled. God also then gives us biblical examples. Take into consideration a king in 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 1 and following, Abijam. Abijam is Rehoboam's son. And in the context, the Bible identifies is that he walked in all the ways of his father. Now, why did he walk in all the ways of his father? Did he research the way that his father did? And he says, you know, I like what my father did, even though it was evil, I'm going to follow that way. No, the Bible very clearly identifies to us, if you note 1 Kings 15 and verse 3, he says, and he walked in all the sins of his father, note what he says, which had been done before him. His father did these sins in his presence. It influenced this man. It impacted his life so much so, note what it said, his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father, David. In the context, this man had been influenced by his grandfather, his father, in doing things that was contrary to the will of our God. And God has a lesson for us as parents, I believe, in part there, is that we need to make sure that we influence our children and to know that they are looking at us continually as an example. But then also, God shows us in the New Testament Scripture that the saints at Galatia were hindered by sinful souls. Paul begins that epistle in writing to the saints at Galatia by saying, I am troubled, if you would, that you are so soon removed from Him who called you into another gospel, which he goes on to say, which is not another gospel, but there are some who pervert the gospel of Christ. And then he goes on to encourage them to say, that I say unto you that if I or anyone else, even an angel, preach any other gospel unto you than that which has been proclaimed, he says, let them be accursed. Evidently, some people had come in there at Galatia amongst the brethren and was influencing them, mixing the doctrine of Christ, likely with Judaism. Why do I say that? Because there's hints of that as you read on through the book of Galatians. And in all them, the influence was very powerful upon these people. If you go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians, that you would believe a lie upon whom Jesus Christ has been taught? He was portrayed amongst you. You saw Him. You had evidence. But yet at the same time, the power of influence pulled these people away. So much so that as Paul spoke to them in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 1 through really the end of the chapter, he goes on to say, you ran well. There was a time when they were faithful before the Lord. But he says those naysayers, those who were worldly minded, those who were sadly even amongst them who had turned away from the Lord had impacted so many. And now they were no longer running faithful with the Lord. You know, we could go back to the Old Testament Scripture, can we not, and think about Solomon? I wish that Solomon's entire life had gone the way that we see it beginning. Remember whenever he takes reign over Israel and he is given a situation with two women where that a woman has had the child, but yet somebody else wants the child, another lady wants the child, and Solomon doesn't know how to discern, to determine which is the right one, and therefore, who did he go to counsel? He turned to God. And God gave him the ability to be able to choose the biological mother over the one who was trying to come in and to take the child. And friends, if only he had continued to stay the course and to remain focused upon God, but he did not. The Bible goes on to identify that he had multiple wives and concubines, and many of them, the Bible identifies, were heathen who practiced idolatry. And Israel were warned against that, were they not? And did these ladies have an influence upon this man, this leader of God? Almost certainly. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4. The Scripture says, "For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David." You see, these ladies, if it's just to call them ladies, these women, in their ungodliness, in their focus upon man-made gods, had an impact. Their influence led Solomon, the leader of God's people, to turn his heart to other gods, to where he was not loyal to the Lord our God. Then we have a positive influence. An example in the New Testament Scripture drawn from the Old Testament, Abel. Remember what has happened with Abel. Cain and Abel, very familiar stories to us where Adam and Eve has had two sons and the two sons offer sacrifices, a form of worship to God. And one brings the fruit of the ground and the other, Abel, offers a blood sacrifice. We would draw from the context more than likely. And in that then, God is pleased with Abel's sacrifice, but with Cain's, he is not. And Cain is enraged with jealousy. And what does he do? He goes out and he kills his brother, and then he hides him and then tells God that he doesn't know where he is. Then what do we find about Cain's lineage? Evil, influence, and corruption upon the world. That's another negative. But what do we learn about Abel? In the New Testament Scripture, the Bible says, "He, being dead, still speaks." Speaks in what way, God? He speaks in a positive way, based out of his commitment to God, based out of his obedience to God. That still serves as an influence, an example to you and me that we need to live a life to realize the influence that we have, to make sure that we are a positive influence to every single person that we meet in this world. Some important points that I want us to ponder. It is sinful for us to get caught up in the evil ways of this world. I mean, that's a given. God wants us to be on guard continually and to say, you know, I know that there are a lot of good things to do in this world to begin with, right? And those are God-given, and we ought to go out, like last night, a group of us went over to Miller's Grocery and spent time with one another. What a blessing. It would have been a mess. It would have been terrible if we'd have got together and went down to the local bar, right? That's not a place that Christians hang out. That's not a place for Christians to go. That's not, we should not surround ourselves with that type of an influence. And somebody says, well, we're going to go there and we're going to try and convert people. Friends, you can't convert a drunk to the Lord. Get him whenever he sobers up. That's what we need to do. And then maybe we'll be able to get to his heart. In all, God wants us to understand that we need to be on guard to know what sin is, to be on guard and to say, I'm not going to go where sin is, but rather I'm going to stay on the outside of sin and I'm going to do what I can to influence those who are sinners. But then also, God tells us is that people are watching every step that we take as God's children. Every single move we make, especially people who are on the outside looking in, they're seeing if we're going to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. They want to know if indeed we are true servants of God, or if we're just putting on a show. And if we're just putting on a show, friends, we're not going to be able to influence them to come to the Lord. But then in like figure, inside our homes, moms and dads, we need, and I think, let me say this before I go any further. I think here we have parents who do a really good job. But I lay it out to say maybe there's things that we can even always do better. In that, Moms and dads influence and impact their children in so many ways. Another story to share. A mom had taken her little 4-year-old son with her shopping. And they've been out shopping all day long. And the little boy, he's really tired, worn out. And they go into this, the mom says, we're going to go into this last shop. And she says, after that, we're going to go get something to eat and then we're going to go home. And they walked into this shop and the sales clerk behind the counter, as the mom has gone up to pay, hands the little boy a lollipop. And the mom says, what do you say to this nice young lady? And the boy says, charge it. We influence through words, through actions. Every single day, people are watching, listening to what it is that we are doing in life. And then, too, God wants us to understand that He will judge our lives in the day of judgment. Everything that we do is being looked at by God. He's looking at those things, hoping, wanting, encouraging us to do things in a positive way, to be that person that He wants us, calls us to be as a Christian in Christ. But also, whenever we are not, He sees those things. And if we go through life without turning from those ways, we will stand before God to face His judgment and the wrath of eternal condemnation. Our influence may make or break us eternally, but friends, also our influence may make or break the opportunities that we have with people. We may say something just out of what might seem we ought to say at the moment, and that might just ruin that person's day. It might just destroy that person. And hence, as a Christian, we might cause a fellow brother or sister to walk away from the Lord. We might cause one who has never obeyed the Lord to say, if that's the way they want to be, if that's what a Christian represents, I don't want any part of that. We've got to understand that our choices and influences in life may make or break people. Therefore, there are some critical questions that I lay before us today as we close out this lesson and this worship to God. Have you stopped lately to think about your influences? If not every single day of our life, we ought to think about the influence that we have upon people. Paul dealt with himself continually. And what Paul says is he says, there are times in my life that I'm not the type of person that God wants me to be. And therefore, he was always working on his life. And the Scripture says that he challenged himself and that he constantly was working on himself that he might bring every member of his body into submission, into subjection to the will of God. Why? For his soul's sake, but friends, also, he was reaching out to his fellow man. And he wanted to have that influence, that positive influence upon others. But then also, are you doing all that you can to live for Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ your life? Or is your life about the here and now? Is your life about personal gratification? Is your life centered in and around family? Family is important. And last week we talked about loving family. We talked about even loving ourselves. All those things are important. But we must prioritize. And the number one factor in our life must be Jesus Christ. And if Jesus is not our life, then our influence is not going to be Christ-like. And therefore, we've got to always keep in mind and to think, am I doing everything that is within my power to do? Am I studying the Bible? Am I attending services the way that God expects Christians to attend services? Am I always there? Am I engaging in life in such a way that will glorify God, that will say to the world, I'm not like you. And in that, I want to see you become a Christian and I want you to have the same hope that I have. Is your life lived, centered in and around Jesus Christ? If not, what are you going to do about it? Because we might preach about it all day long. We might teach about it. We want to encourage you all day long. But at the same time, the bottom line is that we all are responsible for making that choice ourselves and doing it, sticking to it. But then also, do you feel like others are able to see Christ in you? The things that you say, comments you make to people, is it Christ-like? The actions that you're doing, the people that are sitting around you right now, before services, during services, after services, would they say that you've conducted yourself in a Christ-like manner today while you're here? The people in the world that we work with, that we bump shoulders with at Walmart and places like that, do they see the power of influence, Christ in you? If not, what are we going to do about that? But then too, can you say that our God is happy with your life? That's a big one there, isn't it? Is God happy with your life? Sometimes we get complacent with ourselves. We'll say, well, you know, I'm not the person I used to be. I said a minute ago, I didn't used to think about my influence as a teenager. And wouldn't it be sad if I stayed back there as a teenager in that mindset? We've got to grow up, correct? And we've got to say, not only am I the type of person do I see, am I the type of person that God wants me to be, but what about others? But above all, what about God? Let's be real with ourselves and say, is God really and truly happy with the things that I say, the things that I do, and will I stand pleasing to God in the day of judgment? Influence. It is very powerful. Our lives, the actions in our life, we touch so many people. And therefore today I encourage us to think about these things and then to move each day to make sure that we are doing what we can to be a positive and productive influence as a Christian upon others. Today, if you're here and you're outside of Christ, we want to encourage you that God has a plan. And we want to encourage you to understand that plan, that you are able to have your sins forgiven in Christ. The way that that is accomplished by is through your belief and love for God, and then your confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in that confession, you would be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, raised, forgiven by God, raised, added by the Lord to the church, raised now to walk in newness of life. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become a Christian before it's too late. But then also if we have members here who are erring in some form, if you are not sure that God is pleased with you, with your life and your influence and all, we want to encourage you today to come and we will pray with you and for you that you will be forgiven and added back, that your influence then can start anew from this day forward. If you're subject to the Lord's call, please come us together. We